pastor wanted me to, he just gave me leeway, you know, to come in and speak about pretty much what I wanted to, what the Holy Spirit had laid on my heart. It's been kind of an emotional year for me. I've been a Christian for a lot of years. I've seen a lot of things happen, seen a lot of people come and go. But one of the things that I've really noticed in the last several years, and especially the people around me, is that, you know, a lot of people are bailing out. And I decided to name this as Surviving a Crisis. And actually, this would make a great small group study. It would make a great series. It would make a great time of in a convention, because we're having so many people, so many casualties of Christians that are going through really difficult times. And I can say this to you with all my heart, that when hard times come, when a crisis comes, and really what the definition of a crisis is, when something is extremely difficult or very dangerous or both. And I've been in both of them this year and many times throughout the year. And when that comes in your way, and it'll come your way at different times, but I can tell you there's going to be a lot of voices you're going to hear. There's a lot of voices out here. Pastor did here 3 or 4 years ago, he did a series on the voices that are out there. And those voices are going to say, it's time to quit, it's time to go. This is not working, it's not worth it. It's not going to work out. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. All of these things will come to you. But if you understand, and Jesus said, if you hear my voice, my sheep will know my voice. Yes. I never understood that to the degree that I have this past year and some of the things that I've encountered in life. But I've remained, the Lord is faithful, and I've remained faithful. But it was because of some of the things that I've learned through the years. And my point tonight is to do this, is to get you and show you how to survive a crisis, how to survive times like this when they come. And I want to read from John chapter 16, verses 32, 33. Now I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic Edition. And the reason I chose this particular version is to, it kind of goes in depth about what Jesus is saying. Now let me set the pace for this a little bit. This is where Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly ministry. He's fixing to go to the cross. He's been talking to his disciples and say, you know what? In a little while, I'm going to be gone. You're not going to see me. I'm going to come back for a little while, and then I'm going to be gone. And if you stop and think about this, this was a crisis for them. They had left everything. They were following Jesus. Man, they put everything on the line for him, and now he says, I'm going away. He even said at one time, it's expedient for you that I go away. Now listen, you can put yourself, we know a lot of things now this far ahead, but those guys didn't know what we know to the degree that we know it now. And so for them to hear him say that, man, this is what's going to happen here. How are things going to progress? See, a lot of them thought that as the Messiah, as the anointed one, he was coming back as a military ruler, and he was going to deliver them from Roman rule, and everything was going to be set up, and they were going to proceed, you know, with Israel, and it didn't happen that way. That's not what was going to happen at that time. And so they were approaching a crisis, and certainly Jesus was approaching a crisis. I tell people all the time, he grew up in wisdom and stature. He came, he had a body, he came into this earth as a child, and he read and he studied the scriptures, and he knew all of those prophecies and scriptures written about how he would be tortured and how he would go to the cross and how hard and difficult that it would be, but yet he remained firm all the way through. I want to tell you how to do this. I don't have a lot of time, and the time that I have, and I want you to study out these scriptures for yourself. So in John 16, from the Amplified Classic, after he had told them these things, I'm going to leave, I'm going to come back, he said, but take notice, the hour is coming and it has arrived when you will all be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me all alone. Boy, I don't know what I would have thought at that point. Jesus, what? We're going to all be scattered out. We're not going to be with you anymore. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation, and trials and distress and frustration. But look at this. Be of good cheer. And I like this part. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Woo! I don't know if they got that or not. I got it. You know, you can read that scripture alone. And no matter what comes into your life, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how many voices you hear, you can say, Jesus, this is done. You have deprived it of its ability to harm me, to destroy me. That builds me up. That gives me great courage. It's carried me through a lot of hard things, especially this year. I've encountered things I never thought I would encounter. And on family basis, health basis, people around me basis, but in the midst of all of it, and I've been reminded, Jesus said, look what he said, I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Praise God for that wonderful promise that he's given. He knew that he had already overcome the world. And how did he know that? How did Jesus know that he had already overcome the world? He knew it because he said it back there. He said, I'm not alone. The Father's with me. Is there anything that can overcome God? No. Anything more powerful than God? You think there's anything in your life, no matter what it might be, that God can't handle or has not already handled through Jesus? See, you've got to have confidence in this. Studying the scripture will bring confidence. It will build you up. It'll give you courage that you can't get just by sitting around thinking about other things. That's why Paul was so adamant about renewing your mind to the scripture and not being conformed but being transformed so that you can prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And a part of his perfect will is to know we've got this. It's not going to overflow you. It's not going to knock you out. Too many Christians. I know people right now, things happen in their life, they're not going to church no more. God let me down. Somebody died, I'm mad. God, you let me down. They wasn't supposed to die. God, I lost my job. You didn't do anything about it. All of these things, and they're not going to church anymore. They're not praying anymore. They're not even talking about God anymore. Shouldn't be that way. You, as an ambassador for Christ, one of your jobs, one as an ambassador, you can say what I'm saying right here to people like that. It's up to them to receive it. You can't make them believe. You can't make them come back. But you can keep talking to them. You can keep talking to them. You can keep talking to them. It's the word. It's the grace of God that's going to bring them back. He said in John 17, remember he said also, he said, before he said this, he said, I came out from the Father. And John 17, he said, he talked about how I am in the Father and Jesus and we are in him. So we are in the Father. And when you study the New Testament, you find out that you're created in Christ Jesus when you're born again. You have a brand new spirit. You're one with the Spirit of Jesus. An overcomer is one who carries the victory, his victory over the world. We are overcomers in Christ. We carry his victory. Think about that. You have the awesome privilege of carrying his victory. You have the awesome privilege of not only expressing it, but demonstrating it, speaking it out of your mouth. And Jesus said this also. He said, For whoever who believes on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. If the church as a whole ever grabs hold of the fact that we have God in us, he has a throne, but he dwells on the inside of us. He never leaves us. His gifts and callings are without repentance. When he chose you in Jesus, he'll never take that back. When he called you in Jesus, he'll never take that back. When he elected you in Jesus, he'll never take that back. When he gave you his Holy Spirit, he'll never take him back. Every gift, every good and perfect gift that he's given to you, he will never, ever take it back. Man, can't get any better than that. My brother and I, when we were growing up, we would always trade things, you know. We'd trade this and then come back later, I want that back. And sometimes we'd take it back. Huh? God's not like that. He's not like that. His ways and thoughts are higher than the thoughts of men. You know, one of the things the Lord spoke to me was, he said, you need a victory attitude. You need a victory attitude at all times. I don't care what it looks like in the world, what you're going through. You need a victory attitude. This is a done deal. This is a done deal. He has already overcome the world. His overcoming is my overcoming. You think that left anything out? It didn't leave anything out. Only religion will try to leave things out. Only religion will try to put limitations on God and on his victory. Only religion will do that. The doctrines and traditions of men, it'll make the word of no effect in your life. I've determined in my life, I'm taking all of those limitations off. I'm taking them off. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. Because he's on the inside of me to believe him, and his all of his promises he has made true. The main advantage that we have in contrast to the disciples was at that time was the fact that they had Jesus with them. We have him in us. We have him in us. Then he had to just go with them one at a time, whatever it happened to be. Wherever you are, he is. Where he is, you are. Boy, that's awesome to know. All right, my first point tonight is this. Take authority over the crisis. No matter what comes, no matter how hard it comes, you take authority over it. Right then. Don't you wait. I did a small group study on command presence, and the Lord reminded me of what command presence was. I've been a trooper for many years, retired. In the process of that, we were taught how to stand, how to approach people, how to take charge of a situation, because if we didn't, all chaos would break loose. I've been to the scene of accidents and situations where you had to literally step in and say, I'm in control here. You go down and you shut up, you sit down, you get back in your car, you get on down the road, whatever it happens to be, I'm in charge here. Amen. It's no different in Christianity. A lot of Christians don't know this, and they don't take charge of anything in their lives, and they just say, well, all things work together for good. You leave out a lot of scripture there. And that's what people say. They even people who aren't Christians say that. Well, everything works good. You know that. Everything has a purpose. You know what? You're not taking charge. All you're saying is, God, it's all up to you. And there are multitudes of scriptures where God says, you do it. You resist the devil. You put on the whole armor. You go. You do it. You do it. You do it. Because he's on the inside of you to get the job done. Command presence is knowing who you are in Jesus and what you can do through Jesus. Too many people, all they want is a fire insurance policy. You know, don't want to go to hell. That's good. That's a good thing to do. And God will honor that when you believe into Jesus. But it's more than that. He put you into this earth, kings and priests, sons and daughters of Almighty God, to walk in this earth and declare that awesome message that you've been reconciled unto the Lord through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're sons and daughters of God. 1 John 4:4, look at this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, talking about those of the Antichrist, those who were saying that only Jesus came as an apparition. He didn't come in the flesh. He was just a vision. That's all that he was. That's what we're saying in those days. He says, you've already overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world or anything that is of the world. Amen. Through Satan. He's greater. That's everything. Can you see that? Can you see where if you understand this and you know this, your confidence level goes through the roof. Your faith level begins to take hold, and you wrap that faith that's his faith on the inside of you around that confidence and whatever you're dealing with, and you take command of it. And it has to come out of your mouth. I'm in charge here. People might think you're crazy, but you better take charge. You better take charge. If you don't, then demonic activity will take charge. I don't have time to talk about it. I had an encounter with demons this year, first time in my life. And I took charge. And they did get out of Dodge. And they ain't come back. Romans 8 and 37. And this is where Paul is talking. This is the victory chapter. And he's talking about, you know, all the things that nothing can separate us from the perfect love of God in Christ Jesus. No, nothing, no, nothing like tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Well, what's more than a conqueror? Let me tell you what it is. It's an heir. You're a joint heir with Christ, an heir of God, and you're an heir of the world. He did the conquering, and you became a joint heir of him in what he conquered. And I'm going to tell you what he's the heir of. In the book of Hebrews, it says he's the heir of all things. Did that leave out anything? Religion would jump in there and say, well, now, wait a minute. Let's dice and chop this up and kind of look at it. He's the heir of all things, and you're a joint heir with him. There's going to be a new heavens. There's going to be a new earth, a new Jerusalem. But now, here in this time, now are we the sons of God, Paul said. Now are we his people. Now do we have that power that raised him from the dead on the inside of us. Look at Isaiah 54, verse 17. This is one we quote all the time. And this is one you ought to just sit down and study. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. Don't ask God to condemn it. People are really good at asking God to do something, and he says, you condemn it. It has a tongue. Everything that comes against you in this life, every situation, trial, no matter what it happens to be, it has a tongue. You know what it says? I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to break you. I'm better. You're going to lose. Don't even try. Give up. Quit. All of those things. You have to condemn. You know what that means? Pastor said it. You have to put a death sentence on it. You have to say, this is the way I do it. I'll say, I curse that thing right now. I cut the root of it right now. You cut the root, and what happens? You destroy the fruit. You can prove that out. I do it every year when I do my lawn work, and I've got some wild vine that's growing. I cut that root, and that thing above it dies. You can do the same in your life as a believer. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their inheritance in Christ, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Wow, that's powerful. You need to use that scripture. Study it out. Apply it. Go over and look at how it relates to the new covenant of peace that we have in Christ. Look at the second point. Don't panic. Boy, this is a good one. Don't panic. You know, I'll tell you this. When you hear really bad stuff, and sometimes it's just right in your face right now, the first thing your flesh wants to do is just what we used to call years ago, wig out. Yeah, I always heard that, so I have a picture of somebody's wig just flying off, you know. It's like your flesh just says, oh, do something right now, get mad, throw up, whatever it happens to be, crush somebody, hit somebody, ow, I'm just going wild inside. Now your flesh is in control. And boy, that's when people say and do things they never get back. They wish they had never said or done. Don't panic. Don't panic. Because when you panic, it may take a while before you get reined back in. And in that while, a destruction can happen. A lot of destruction. Now you have to practice this. And you have to be aware of this. Take command. Don't panic. You have God on the inside of you, and trust me, he ain't going to panic. That's right. Jesus ain't going to panic. The Holy Spirit, we're going to hold you in if you'll let him. And this is something you have to be aware of on a daily basis. He is your comforter. He is your empower. He is your intercessor. He is your advocate. He is there to keep you in control. But you've got to know that and agree with that and pray that and have confidence in that. And it'll keep you, listen, this is why so many people, they just lose it. Something really bad happens. They hear get bad news, whatever it happens to be, and they just lose it. And then for weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, before they ever come back to God, if they ever do. It shouldn't be that way, because we have God on the inside of us. Psalms 46:10. I love this. Be still and know that I am God. Now, when they read that in the Old Testament, it was God up there somewhere. For us, be still and know that I am God in you, right here. Be still. Don't panic. Don't lose it. I've got this. I'm your Father. I'm your God. I'm your Comforter. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Savior. We got this. Just don't panic. Don't lose it. Stay cool. Stay calm. Easier said than done sometimes. But thank God. Thank God. You can come back. You can come back and say, Lord, I missed that. Now I'm settling down. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And he's exalted through the way you do it. By exalting him in your life, going through these things. By being still, by taking command, by not panicking. Romans 8:31-33, King James Version, New King James. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Every circumstance, situation, problem, no matter what you, he said, he has freely given us all things. Well, what, one of those things is victory. I have the victory over this. Somebody think you're crazy. It don't look that way. I have the victory over this. This is God inside of me. I'm not just saying, it's not just coming off the top of my head. I have the victory in this. It doesn't look like it. I have the victory in this. You know, the world would think you were crazy. Most Christians would say, oh, no, God's trying to teach you something. Oh, no, he's bringing this way so you can be more mature. He's letting it happen to you. No, he's not. No, he's not. This is something that people have been deceived with for years. You succumb to the devil and he will eat you alive. He will crush you and just spit you out and walk away, and you'll blame God for it. A lot of people like that in the earth. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who? What? It'll try to charge you. Satan will try to charge you. He'll try to condemn you. He gets away with that with a lot of God's people. He'll try to get you to go back to the past, try to get you back to what failed and what didn't work, and try to get you to remember that. You always come from now and forward, from now and forward. Don't go back to the past. God's not. Don't you go back there. Your sins and iniquities will I forgive, and I will remember no more. If he ain't remembering, then why are you doing it? Amen. So if memory tries to come back, that ain't God. That's the devil. That's demonic activity. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You have the Spirit of Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit within you and upon you to empower you in being in that position. You don't have the old same old man. A lot of people believe you still have a sin nature, and then you've got God's nature. That makes you schizophrenic. Any way you look at it. That's dumb. God ain't a schizophrenic, and you're not either. You're one with him in Christ. Then finally, look at number 3. Third thing, remember the promises. I used to sing an old song when I was growing up in church, standing on the promises of God. And boy, we all got into that. Trouble was, not many of us knew what they were. How can you stand on something that you don't even know what it is? Now, there's so many promises. Obviously, I couldn't get them all in here, but if you'll go back, and Paul made this statement that you and I are made privileged to the commonwealth of Israel in the book of Ephesians, and part of that commonwealth that we were made privileged to all the covenants with an S that God had ever made with anybody. And you ought to go back and see what those promises are. One of these in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's a reference to Jesus. You're upheld in Christ. Isaiah 43:2, "When you pass through the waters," that's problem, situation, circumstances, crisis. And sometimes it's many. It ought to be crises. You can go through those. And it looks like there's no way out. Looks like things are going to implode on you. Look what he says. God will not go back on his promises. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of his turning. His word is forever settled in heaven. When he made this statement, whenever that it was, it's just as true today as it was then. "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you." One version says, you ain't even going to smell like smoke. Is that true?
Yes.
Can you say that in the middle of a crisis? You better. Let it come out of your mouth. "You'll eat good by the fruit of your lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it," either life or death, "is in the power of your tongue." Listen to me. This is the way you survive. This is the way you survive. Look at this one. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to end it with this. 6:16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" This is Paul talking. "For you," this is new covenant, "for you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And a little later on, he says, "I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters." You can't get any better than that. God dwells in you. He walks in you. Now, can anything survive against God? Listen. But you got to use your faith. You got to stand up. You got to take command. Don't you panic. And you remember these awesome promises of God. Are you with me on it? I can tell you, even as I've spoken this to you tonight, I can tell you there are people sitting there thinking, "Yeah, but I tell you, I did that one time. It didn't work." I know somebody, they did all that and it didn't work. Let me tell you what. What you're saying is the Word of God didn't work. It worked. You've heard pastor say it many times. What does he say? If you work the word works. It cannot not work. God will not, cannot, does not fail you. Praise God. I hope you got something out of this tonight. Now, like pastor always says, after he gets to preaching, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Huh? I know what the devil's trying to tell you. "I don't know about all that." What's God saying to you? He just spoke to you through me. All I did was read the scripture. That's all I did. I just gave you what he's already said, what he's already promised. You're in the best place you can be in. If you're born again, you're his. You're his. You're one with him in Christ Jesus. Man, you can walk out of this place in full confidence that no matter what happens, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is Lord of all. Now then.